Hey, gang. Welcome. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. That is republicbroadcasting.org. Today, I will be taking callers. That number is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And as you know, I've got a number of projects going on. One of my projects is nationalbugle.com. It is a news amalgamation site that I've been working on and off for over 20 years, believe it or not. Mostly off. Sometimes on, mostly off. It's off. I started it off more for my own use. It was just something that would help me get news and information. I sometimes joke that Matt Drudge stole my idea. I'm sure great minds think alike. But today I want to just start off by reading just headlines. I don't need to go much into the articles, but just, you know, the types of things that you're going to find here. I've got currently the site, which is a work in progress. It's got four sections of headlines, which is war and foreign policy, immigration and demographics, elections and politics, and other news. I'd like to put a financial news category in there. Maybe I'll get to that. We'll see. There's, like I say, it's a work in progress. And, I've had some other people who have help me from time to time. But let's just go through some of the headlines you'll find. U.S. Air Force sends DOS attacking aircraft to Korean theater. Now, maybe somebody who's a better military analyst than myself can tell me what DOS attacking aircraft is, but this is a trend. In these top 10 headlines in war and foreign policy, the bulk had to do with North Korea, which is not a good sign. There's absolutely no reason that we should be having war with North Korea, this escalation of military tensions. I've said it. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. What you do is you just back off for a second. Don't respond to any of their provocations. Certainly don't issue any of your own provocations. And then you can have a cultural exchange. We send over Dennis Rodman and some basketball Americans, and they can send over the lady that sings my bumper music. I think that's a pretty good trade. I'll take that. And, you know, have a little cultural exchange that gets you used to working with each other. And then you can have real negotiations. But, you know, the negotiations shouldn't be aimed at preventing their nuclear program. If we're going to have nuclear weapons and we're going to allow Israel to have nuclear weapons and help them, even though they haven't signed the nuclear non-proliferation treaty, we really, it's obviously hypocritical and double standard to say that North Korea doesn't have the right to have their own nuclear program. I mean, I would rather no countries have these nuclear programs. I'm not for nuclear proliferation, but you know, you hear in the I think I had CNN news on in the background, and they said something about North Korea's illegal nuclear program. There's nothing illegal about it. They're a sovereign country. They can have their weapons program. They had joined the nuclear non-proliferation treaty as a non-nuclear state as part of a deal that we would replace their Soviet-designed Chernobyl-style nuclear power plant with a plant of more modern Western design, and it was supposed to be completed by the year 2000. They hadn't even broken ground by 2000, and so North Korea withdrew from the treaty. According to the procedures set out in the treaty, they withdrew from it. They're not a party to the treaty, and as a non-party to the treaty, they develop nuclear weapons. The only sanction should be that other countries are not allowed to assist their nuclear program. And there's no evidence that any other countries have been assisting their nuclear program. There's nothing illegal about it. Anyway, move on. Hawaii Representative Tulsi Gabbard, who, by the way, I had promoted as a possible Secretary of State. She would certainly be a great replacement for that Indian lady at the UN, Nikki Haley. Tulsi Gabbard says the false missile alert stresses the need for urgent talks with North Korea. And the talks really should be aimed at ending the state of hostility, the state of war that's existed between the United States and North Korea since the Korean War, and ultimately at the reunification of the Korean Peninsula. It would be a great thing. Now, China and Japan don't really want to see a strong Korea in between them, because the Japanese have a proverb that Korea is a Chinese dagger sticking at Japan, and the Chinese feel that Korea is a Japanese dagger sticking at China, and if you look at a map, you'll know what I'm talking about. But Korea is smaller than both of those countries, and they're a single people. And if they unified, you know, one thing that would happen would be a whole bunch of the Koreans who are here, and I like Koreans. I don't really mind the Koreans being here, but a whole lot of the Koreans who are here would go back to North Korea, because North Korea would become, I mean, would go back to Korea, because Korea would be a nice place. It's already a pretty nice place. So South Korea is a pretty nice place to live, except it's very competitive and there's mandatory military service, and a lot of people don't like that. If North and South unite and there's no need for mandatory military service, there's going to be a lot less people who are going to want to immigrate. Anyway, moving on. Syria says Israeli missiles... excuse me. Israeli missiles hit Damascus. Well, if you want to find out about that, go to nationalbugle.com and look at down the war and foreign policy section. Syria says Israeli missiles hit Damascus. Here's another headline from the same section. U.S., Israel, Saudi Arabia policies on Iran, quote, would lead us to war, unquote. French president says, and this is according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. The French president, he's really turned out to be not at all what we were expecting. Most people have been supporting Marine Le Pen as in the French presidential election last year, and it seemed that this Macron guy was somebody that the establishment had just kind of pulled out of their derrière in order to stave off a nationalist revival in France, which would crack down on immigration and get in the way of the basic Zionist agenda. But this Macron has turned out to be somebody who is saying that this immigration is unsustainable, and Africans are going to need to stay in Africa, and he's been doing a lot of things that we would not have expected. So we'll see how that turns out. Okay, let's move on. The next section is immigration and demographics. So, what are some nice headlines you might find there? Well, okay. Great moments in Google. Quote, American inventors, unquote. The UNCE review. Well, that headline doesn't tell you a whole lot. But I occasionally put little pithy subtitles underneath these headlines. And in this case, it was, did you know that black people literally invented everything? If you don't believe me, just Google it. It was an interesting article. The UNCE Review is Ron Unce's website. Ron Unce has a degree in he's a Harvard graduate, then got a master's degree at Stanford in physics, And then he's dropped out of his PhD program, but went on to become, I guess, a successful financier. He's wealthy. He's Jewish. He ran for governor of senator of California, I think 1998, against Pete Wilson, maybe, and he challenged him in the Republican primary. But he's a pretty substantial person, and he did a monumental study, the best study out there on anti-white discrimination at Ivy League schools. Although it's called The Myth of American Meritocracy, I highly recommend it. The Myth of American Meritocracy. Although you have to really read, it's a long article, and you have to read to the bottom before you realize that whites are the most discriminated against, because he starts off talking about Asians. And but if you go down, and especially if you look at the abstracts or appendixes to the article, you see that he does separate Jews from non-Jewish whites. And you see when he separates Jews from non-Jewish whites, that whites are just so massively discriminated against. And one thing, like, I've done a study of this myself that I published on davidduke.com, I believe also at the Occidental Observer. But what Ron Unz does, which is very resource-consuming, very time-consuming, is he also looked at measures of merit, which meant getting not just getting data on PSAT scores, merit scholarship semifinalists, math Olympiad, science Olympiad winners, measures of being an elite student. Not only does he do that, but then he goes through the names. He's got the names. He's got to go through the names and scan for Korean names, scan for Japanese names, scan for Indian names, scan for Jewish names in order to do the level of analysis that he did. And it was very robust. It's a good article. But at any rate, this is from the Unch Review, Great Moments in Google. And I forgot, it wasn't Ron Unz who wrote this, it was somebody else, I believe, but if you Google American inventors, you're just going to find a whole list of black people. The Wright brothers aren't even in their list of the top 50 inventors, but, some lady who invented some sort of snake oil hair treatment for black people, she's on the list. Okay, so think of that next time you're flying at 35,000 feet. Next headline, bipartisan deal would create 12-year citizenship pathway. This is from the Associated Press. It's the deal that Dick Durbin was showing to President Trump when President Trump finally broke down and said, why do we need all these people here from dung void countries? It's interesting because you could see what was actually in the detail. So the 12-year citizenship pathway, well, of course, we're 2 years into it, according to this, because people have been waiting for 2 years already or something. So it would be really 10 years. These dreamers would get citizenship. Now, of course, we all know that the dreamers came here. The dreamers came here through no fault of their own. Well, whose fault was it then? Well, it was somebody's fault. If it's no fault of their own, they broke the law. They broke the law, but it wasn't their fault. Well, whose fault was it? It was their parents who brought them here. Okay. Well, then the parents shouldn't be allowed to stay, right? I mean, somebody's got to take responsibility. No. The parents, so the compromise, this is the compromise, not the Democrats' initial position, because by default, the law in the United States under the 1965 Immigration Act is that citizens or green card holders can sponsor relatives to come to the United States for family reunification visas. And so, we won't let them sponsor their parents for family reunification visas. We'll let them sponsor their parents for 3-year working visas, which can be renewed indefinitely, infinitely, permanent, so they can the people responsible for the crime of bringing people here illegally, they can stay too. That's the compromise. So it sounds like a win-win, right? The compromise also was amnestying people fleeing the 2001 earthquake in El Salvador. Okay, that was 17 years ago. Isn't it time for people to go back if they came here illegally and we've been letting them stay here because of this scary earthquake? Well, the earthquake's, it's done. I think the earth stopped shaking. It's time to go back. And it would prioritize. So instead of having a diversity lottery that randomly hands out visas to people, we'll make it merit-based, but we'll prioritize Africa because we need that African immigration, right? This is when Donald Trump said, why do we need these people? Why do we need people here from these countries, these manure vacuum countries? Okay, let's look at more headlines because this is fun. I mean, there's lots of fun stuff here, and the more people look at it, the more I'll put up. Michael Wolff, here's one that you might have missed. Donald Trump, he has this creepy way of knowing who's Jewish. The actual headline from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, Donald Trump knowing who's Jewish is creepy. It's creepy that Donald Trump knows who's Jewish. This is the headline from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, which is quoting that Jewish author of the fake news book about Donald Trump that was all the rage last week or the week before, whenever it was. It's creepy. See, now the Jews know who each other are, but if a goyim knows Donald Trump knows, if he knows who's Jewish and who's not Jewish, that's creepy. Well, that's the whole thing. And this comes from my bat theory. It has to do with my bat theory of Jewish politics, of Jewish power. The Jews are able to go up to the whites and say, look, I've got lights. Well, the bats go up to mammals and say, look, I've got fur, I'm like you. They go up to birds and say, look, I've got wings, I'm like you. And so, you know, they'll go into white organizations and say, I'm white like you. And then they go to people of color and say, I'm a discriminated minority, I'm like you. And the fact of the matter is that the goyim, when we're watching TV and you see Jake Tapper, people don't recognize him as a Jew. Most people don't. Even Wolf Blitzer, who's pretty obvious, but Jake Tapper. You look at all these people on that you're seeing on TV. They invite on all these experts, and if you know they're Jewish, you say, "Why are they inviting on all these Jews?" Right? You know. So I'll be watching the CBS. If they're bugging my house, okay. If they're bugging my house, what they're going to hear is, and to discuss this issue, we have invited on two experts. And then you'll hear me saying, you've invited on two Jews, because I can see that I know I've got Judar. Donald Trump apparently has Judar. He knows. It's creepy. It's creepy. Yet they know. They know. Next headline. Brooklyn College professor claims meritocracy is a tool of whiteness. Well, who would say such a thing? Who could it be? Well, before coming to teach in Brooklyn College's mathematics education program, Lori Rubel taught high school mathematics, statistics, and computer sciences for 9 years in Manhattan and Tel Aviv. Okay, that's who would say meritocracy is a tool of whiteness. All right. By the way, Ron Unz's article that I was citing earlier, it was called The Myth of American Meritocracy. Next headline, German bill would allow expulsion of migrants who espouse anti-Semitism. So, raping their women and murdering their old people, that's okay, but when these migrants start espousing anti-Semitism, it's time to expel them. Very interesting. And I think we're up on break, so I'll be back after the break.
Addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery, and I will take calls if you want to, if you have something on your mind. It's 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443, but I've been reading from the National Bugle, nationalbugle.com. It's a news amalgamation site. I think it's pretty interesting. A lot of stuff up here. It's my site. And I apparently read into the... I kept reading into the break. I took my eye off the clock. But we have all sorts of interesting headlines. I'm just going to read a few more. The U.S. Muslim population to double by the year 2050. Actually, I'm reading this only because double, really? I mean, we're so seriously underpopulated with Muslims, and it's only going to double? Wow. Maybe things aren't as bad as I thought. Who knows? Okay. Moving on to the next section, we have elections and politics. This headline, Wolf, the guy who wrote that book about the Trump White House, book was called Fire and Fury. Wolf says Fire and Fury will kick Trump out. Well, the idea of Fire and Fury was to provoke was it the 25th Amendment, which was passed by Congress and enacted into the Constitution, ratified by the states, in the wake of the Kennedy assassination, where Kennedy actually lived for a few hours after having parts of his brain destroyed by a bullet. And, of course, there was, at the time, the living experience in people's living memory in the mid-1960s was Woodrow Wilson in about 1920, where he had succumbed to a stroke. I guess late 1919, he succumbed to a stroke and spent the rest of his administration, the rest of his term as a invalid, where his wife was handling so much of the business of government, his wife and a couple of aides. That was living memory. And of course, Franklin Roosevelt had been very, very weak. I think he was acting as president even up till he died, but he died in office. And there was the concern that, well, what do you do if had President Kennedy just been in a coma, for instance, a permanent coma? Then what happens? What happens with the government? And so they passed this amendment that allowed for the vice president and the majority of the cabinet, heads of the departments, the cabinet, to certify that the president was incapacitated, that he was unable to carry out the duties of his job. And then the Congress, two-thirds of the members of the House and the members of the Senate, would have to vote in concurrence. And in order to make sure that this wouldn't become a method of a coup d'etat, now two-thirds of both the House and the Senate, that's a higher standard than impeachment, by the way. And to make sure that this wouldn't just be a way to have a coup d'etat, everything gets nullified if the president, within 3 days, submits in writing that he's not incapacitated. If he does that, then the cabinet has to recertify, and then the Congress gets to decide. That's basically what it is. So the idea that people have been flirting with lately, including over this Wolf book, is that, oh, Trump is unfit for office because of his tweets and because he's rude, and they've even been trying to flirt with this idea of the initial stages of early onset dementia. This is something that CNN had been pushing. And of course, Trump had his physical earlier this week, I guess on Monday and Tuesday, you had the announcement of the results, and he's fine. He had a cognitive test. He's fine. Of course, they just don't like him. It was actually a pretty stupid direction to go, because it's a more difficult process than impeachment. Impeachment, basically, if you have half of just a bare majority of the House of Representatives and two-thirds of the Senate to go along, that's all you need. With the 25th Amendment, you need two-thirds of the House, not a majority, but two-thirds, plus you need a majority of the cabinet, plus you need the vice president. And then plus Donald Trump can write that, hey, I'm not incapacitated, and then they have to do this process over again, basically. It's a much more difficult process. So it was, if they're going to try to get rid of Trump, it would be through impeachment or through assassination. Not this 25th Amendment, it's not going to be a factor. Okay, we will be back again after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. Welcome back. There's still time if you want to call in. It is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. In the meantime, I'm going to keep reading from... I have a few more headlines I wanted to get to. This is an interesting one, and this is actually not that new of a headline. This is from late last month. Republican candidate goes full Nazi. Jews pretend to be white to undermine the white race. This is from the Daily Banter. Never heard of that site. Most of the sites I include that I draw from are pretty mainstream. You'll find a lot from, say, the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, because I tend to monitor that. A lot from Sputnik News, a Russian site. I used to use a lot from CNN, but, you know, CNN's website is just, it's so full of, when I say crap, I don't mean fake news, but things that will slow down your browser. You know, you look at a CNN, you drop a, pull up a CNN article, and next thing you know, you've got separate pop-ups and videos that are playing, and it just slows everything down. So CNN is pretty much a what do you call it? It's almost like kind of a malware site. It's just horrible. So I'm moving away from CNN. I'll probably stop using it altogether, and not because of its fake news aspect, because actually, the fake news aspect is kind of valuable. If you know how to read between the lines of a CNN article, it's very valuable. But just because their website is so horrible from the point of view of, you know, keeping viruses and malware off of your computer, that I don't want to be responsible for introducing all of this horrible. I don't want to be responsible for ruining people's computers. And that's what the CNN website is like. So I'm moving away from that. But mostly I try to get pretty mainstream places as much as possible. And I do, unlike some certain other websites, which I'm not going to name, but other amalgamation websites will have headlines. I always list the source as well, because I think the source is important. You have to know who it is you're reading. But anyway, this Republican candidate who goes full Nazi, who is this candidate? It's Paul Nehlen, who challenged in a Republican primary last time around, 2016. He challenged Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House. So many of you would be aware of him. Some of you might not be. He challenged him, and he's basically an alt-right candidate. And this particular article from the Daily Banter was saying, well, in 2016, he was the alt-rights guy, but he didn't really use alt-right terminology. He might have more or less translated some of their talking points, but now he's going full Nazi, because all the alt-right are Nazis, whatever that means. And they are quoting him because he said Jews pretend to be white to undermine the white race. This is really, this is the key. This is very key. One of the main things that you have to understand. And the word pretend, whatever that means, whatever that pretend means. But I was just talking about my bat theory. The Jews are like bats, the bat theory of Jewish power, where they can be whites, or they can be people of color, or minorities is probably the term they'd use. Either way, they can be the oppressed minority, or when they get caught red-handed, engaging in, ethnic networking and preferences and nepotism, and they get caught red-handed like Elena Kagan did, then all of a sudden they're white, and it was white privilege. When Harvey Weinstein does his stuff, he's a white man. All of a sudden, he's a white man. Now, when he's producing these vile films, like Django Unchained, for instance, or what else did he do? Django Unchained, a bunch of stuff that's just very, very, very anti-white, right? Then he's Jewish, he's an oppressed minority, and he's getting back at the whites. I guess the Inglourious Basterds was also Weinstein brothers. Yeah, then he's an oppressed minority, but as soon as he gets caught with something, he's a white man. He's a white man. And, this is very, very common. And I appreciate very much that Paul Nehlen, who I haven't followed that closely, but if he can say something like that, this is exactly what we need. We need people to point out Jewish power and point out and break the taboos. We have a taboo about talking about Jews, just talking about them. Well, here, not only is he talking about them, but he's saying something very, very fundamental, that they pretend to be white. I wouldn't use the term pretend so much, but that they claim to be white when it suits them, and then they claim to be minorities when it suits them. But the main thing, you tie this together with Donald Trump's creepy ability to know who's Jewish. You see, if you know who's Jewish, if the goyim know who's Jewish, then there can't be any pretense if they know Harvey Weinstein's Jewish, if they know that these two experts on the PBS NewsHour to discuss, the Middle East situation or whatever, or to discuss race in America, if you know that they're Jewish, then you can connect the dots. You can say, it's funny because these two Jews were saying this, and this guy's Jewish and that guy's Jewish, and they all tend to push the same narrative. All these people who say that they're whites – and talk about white privilege, it's interesting that these are Jews, huh? And this is why Jews have taken over United States, Canada, and Australia, these diaspora countries, and even the European countries, but have not been able to replicate that success in Japan or Korea or China. I mean, they do have influence there. They have influence in Japan, but it's indirect. It's through the American embassy. It's through the American State Department. It's not direct because they can't pass themselves off as Japanese. The Japanese would know. The Chinese would know. But the Goyim here, we don't know. We look and, we see Al Franken, and he's white. You see Dianne Feinstein, and she's white. And Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper, and they're white. That's how it is. That's how they have their power here. Okay, one more section. We have other news. And so when I don't have things that can go into war and foreign policy, if I don't have something that I can throw into demographics, if I don't have something that goes into election and politics, I put in other news. But actually, it seems I have a caller, so I'm going to give him preference. That's Davey from Texas. Davey, welcome to the show. Are you there, Davey? Okay, I'm not hearing him. Okay, well, if he wants to try again, I'll take him. In the meantime, I'll just continue with the headlines. So the
hear
next
me now.
Oh, Davey, hi. How are you?
All right, man.
What's on your mind, Davey?
Well, I was curious. I just heard you use the word Jew, and I was wondering if you knew when the first so-called Jew showed up on the radar screen here on planet Earth.
On the radar screen? Well, I'm sure it was before we had radar screens.
And that's a good observation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so that all depends on what the meaning of the word Jew is, and there are different definitions floating around. Why don't you tell us what you're getting at?
Well, today we have a synagogue of Satan, Talmudic terrorist Jewish state, calling itself Israel in Palestine. Only problem is the people there are not Israelites, and they'll never be Israel. They can be Jews till hell freezes over. They just can't be Israel because they're Jewish. Jewish, in effect, means anti-Israel, properly defined, of course. But the issue is, in the Bible, like the first five books of the Bible, if anybody's interested, they can go look and see if they can find a Jew in the Bible. In the first five books of the Bible, and the Bible at the beginning of the Bible has nothing to do with anybody being a Jewish. Jewish comes about, just like Jesus said in John 8:44, they work for the money changers, the synagogue of Satan money changers, who have a mass murder for filthy lucre business model. I don't think there's any room for argument in the last 100 years about the synagogue of Satan psychopathic terrorists, the Zionist, Bolshevik, proselytes to Talmudic Judaism, been involved in mass murdering over 400 million people in just the last 100 years, and ledger demanding hundreds and hundreds of trillions of so-called dollars. The problem that I have is that there's so many brain-dead goy who watch Talmud Vision and only are able to repeat the lies that they hear on Talmud Vision, ipso facto Jews or Israel.
Yeah, did you call into Farron's show within the past couple of weeks?
I might have.
I heard a discussion that you were having on his show a couple of weeks ago. And so, it does get to this definitional question, what is a Jew? And
well, I have a question for you. Have you ever seen the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry by Mackey?
No, I've never.
Well, the reason I asked that, of course, is because in Washington, D.C., the layout of the streets there are of geometric design.
Mm-hmm.
manifesting the so-called Talmudic or Masonic so-called religion, which is, of course, bad faith. But the question arises, how, in fact, did Western Europeans become involved in worshiping the synagogue of Satan, Jesus-hating terrorists, who are, in fact, Jewish? You know, and to find that, one can simply read the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, and in there they'll see that word Talmud figure prominently in many of the definitions. And in fact, it says the highest degrees of Freemasonry rely on the Talmudic narrative.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, all right, so if you want to talk about Masonry, we can. It's not my first area of interest, but I think the definition, I think not just talking about Jews, but in general, words can mean different things to different people. And when you're discussing something, you have to make sure that you and the person you're talking to are both using words the same way or understanding what each other means by particular words. And with the whole Jewish question, you know, you're raising, if I can also draw on what you were talking to Farron about, you look back to the Old Testament and I guess the New Testament, what is a Jew in terms of covenants with God? And, you know, you talk about the synagogue of Satan. There's others who are, you know, they'll say that the people who call themselves Jews in the United States today, well, they're descended from Khazars who are not descended from the Hebrews of the Bible. And, you know, they'll use that. And, you know, there are, in the case you're raising, a theologian or a biblical scholar might be able to come down on one side or another. And when, with regard to the Khazars, you know, historians or geneticists would come down on one side or another. When I'm using the word Jew on this show, I am using the word to refer to the people who, in modern day America and elsewhere, call themselves Jewish without regard to the biblical issues or the Khazar issues. That's how I'm using the word by default.
Kind of like not entirely in good faith dealing with the subject itself? Because if, in fact, the majority of the modern-day so-called Jews are simply proselytes to Talmudic Judaism, that de facto eliminates them from being descended from any tribe of the children of Israel, which is, in fact, the case. And Jesus, in John 8:44, delivered the ultimate judgment against the money changers and Pharisees when he described their genetic heritage in John 8:44, where he said, in fact, they were descended from the first two-legged reptile. Well, let me ask you this. Are you familiar with Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses?
I've read it. I certainly couldn't quote it. I've read all of Deuteronomy.
Well, all the way to Deuteronomy, of course, you'll never read about anybody being Jewish in the first five books of the Bible because Jesus hadn't been born yet. They don't have a copy of the Talmud until 500 A.D. So they're not out making proselytes of, whether it's from the tribe of Asher or Dan or Gad or Naphtali or any of the rest of them. They just hadn't had a chance to hate Jesus yet, and they weren't Jewish. You know, because the story is not about being Jewish. That's just the whole point. If the people themselves would read the first five books of the Bible, they'll find there are no Jewish people there because the story is not about being Jewish, period.
My concern,
Jewish state is going to turn into Israel just because they're Jewish. Jewish means they have to hate Jesus first, then they have to have a copy of the Talmud in order to make proselytes. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jesus defined the word proselyte as twofold the child of hell. Well, you know, why would anybody, you know, the good news of the gospel is, of course, that we don't have to live in debt bondage to people that print currency.
Okay, well, I appreciate your call. We're going to break now. And feel free to call back again, and we can discuss these issues. And I'll be back after the break.
Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the show. Back the very appropriate bumper music, Hava Nagila. So, the last caller, Davey from Texas, he raises points that could be very, very relevant to religious people. Of course, to non-religious people, they're not relevant. Not really, to most. And, you know, there's no one-size-fits-all. There's no, one-size-fits-all argument. There really isn't. Tactics, techniques, weapons are situational. And so the narrative that I develop and the definitions I use are for the audience that I'm aiming at, which is a pretty broad audience, but it's not all inclusive. And when I talk about Jews, my definition of Jews are what you could call members of a modern tribe. I'm not talking about when I talk about biblical times, I usually don't use the word Jews. I'll talk about Hebrews, the Hebrews of the Bible. And that doesn't mean that everybody has to talk like that. It's the way I try to talk, to try to be clear about things. I think Jews are a modern tribe with a primarily ethnic basis, a genetic basis. There is a tribal religion, which they may adhere to or they may not. There's a tribal religion. There are traits, shared traits. There's kind of an I wouldn't call it an ideology so much, but there is this very common sense among the vast majority of Jews that they're under threat, and that anti-Semitism, combating anti-Semitism, is a top priority. So now the way I talk, the arguments I use, I think are effective for lots of people. For people whose worldviews revolve largely around the Bible, for very religious people, what I say might not be very influential, might not be very convincing, and what Davey says might be very convincing. So I'm not going to discourage him. Everything's situational, and you know, we need to wake up lots and lots of people. And if there's people that I can't reach easily and Davey can, then, and if he finds his narratives and his arguments effective, then I want to encourage him. But I'm not going to change the way I talk. And I'm not, you know, I read the Bible because I think it's probably, I can't think of any text that's been more important to world history than the Bible. But I'm not a religious person. But this is the big issue that faces. We have a lot of issues. It's not, I mean, Jews aren't at the root of all our problems. They're not. But if we cannot address the problem of Jewish power in the United States, which is distorting all of our politics, it's distorting our society, it's distorting our economics, it's distorting everything. It's distorting our family relationships. And if we can't come to terms with this problem of Jewish power, we can't address other issues that Jews might not even be very responsible for. But you know, if there's issues, people talk about, I know climate change is not a high priority to most of my listeners, but to the extent that climate or environmental issues are a problem, but if we're all divided and fighting over things, you know, we're engaged in wars, needless wars that are only to the advantage of Israel or to world Jewry, how can we come together on other issues of, you know, environment, of overpopulation in, you know, certain areas of the world? There's so many issues that we need to work on and can't. That's it for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode. That is it for today, isn't it?
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.